Amen. The word of the Lord comes forth in Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Amen. Amen. Scripture declares, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses, assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land in which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place, someone say every place, that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Let's read that verse again. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land in which I swore to their fathers to give them. I want to run back up to verse 3. I want to pull my thought from this morning from two words. There's a lot I want to say out of these two words, which are every place, every place. And just speak from the thought this morning, limitless. Limitless. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. Thank you that your word is rich, Lord. Thank you your word is able to build us up and give us an inheritance, Father. And we receive that on this morning. God, speak your truth, God. Build us up, God, that we can continue to do your work for the kingdom, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I'm convinced, body of Christ, that God is in a hurry, and that God is in a hurry to bless his people. He's in a hurry to move us into the purpose that he has for us. God's not wasting time. There's a familiar scripture where Jesus feeds 4,000 in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And when you look at that passage of scripture, he had just lost his cousin, Lazarus. And losing Lazarus, he was hurt. And so scripture says he went to a deserted place. And he goes to that deserted place, and he begins to heal the sick. And in that deserted place, the people who are there that he's ministering to, they get hungry. And the disciples are worried because they feel like they don't have no food, and it's interesting because Jesus says, bring them to me. He gives them a Simon, and he says, have them all sit down in the grass. When you look at this scripture, understanding that God is in a hurry to bless his people, you understand that within a moment, they went from a desert to a plush place. Because the scripture declares that he went to a deserted place, but then told the people to sit down in the grass. Some of y'all have to understand that God can change your situation in a moment. That you can be in one season for a certain amount of time, but in a twinkling of an eye, in less than a second, God can shift things and you can immediately be in a plush place, in a place that you could have never imagined. And so Jesus, as he's teaching, and they're receiving spiritual nourishment, they didn't realize that their environment around them was changing because God is in a hurry to bless his people. Scripture declares in Psalms 37, verse 4, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of my heart. I'm excited because I'm in front of some mature saints on this morning that I know have been delighting themselves in the Lord, and they have been before his face, and they have been in their word, and they have been praying, and they have been fasting, and they've been walking with God for some time. And even in doing that, things can be a little tough. But the scripture declares that if we delight ourselves, he will give us the desires of our heart. We understand that that does not mean that God is going to give us all the things that we want. But as we are in his presence, what he does is he reshapes our heart. And the desires that we want are the desires that he has for us. And so I've come to encourage you on this morning, don't be down about the things that you want that the people around you don't understand that you want. Because the desires that you want are the desires that God wants you to have. It's okay to desire more for your life and for your family and for your current circumstance. It's not you, it's the God in you that is reaching for more. You understand that God has more for you. You're not going to settle with where you are or what or the circumstance that you are in right now. God has already put it in your spirit that he has more for you because you've been in his presence. And when you're in his presence, there's an expectation that comes with that because he's already declared to you that he has more for your life. Is there anyone in here on this morning that knows God has more for you? And so when you have an expectation for what God wants to do in your life, you have that expectation because you know God is watching over the word that he placed in your spirit because you abided by the word and you delighted yourself in the Lord and he gave you the desires of your heart. God's not going to put something in your spirit and then not watch over that word to make sure that word comes to pass. You just have to be faithful in the in-between time of seeing that word come to pass. And I believe I'm in front of some people on this morning that have been in a season of waiting. I believe I'm in front of a people this morning that have been in the waiting room and you're about to birth something that God has placed in your spirit some time ago. And so I encourage you to continue to believe for the thing of God. And so when we look at the progression of the blessing, y'all don't mind if I teach a little bit this morning. When we look at the progression of the blessing that God has for his people, we see Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The scripture declares that now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Someone say, I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He speaks that to Abraham. Amen. He speaks to Abraham again in Genesis chapter 22, 15 through 18 concerning him and the sacrificing of Isaac. Scripture says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which are on the seashore of your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Someone say, shall be blessed. Because you have obeyed my voice. And so he speaks to Abraham concerning the blessing. He comes back to Isaac declaring the blessing in Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 through 5. The scripture declares, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, as I hereby confirm that I will give you all the lands that to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will curse your descendants. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commandments, decrees, and instructions. Someone say the blessing. He comes to Jacob, and Jacob we see here in Genesis 28, 13 through 15. The scripture declares, at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground that you are lying on belongs to you. Someone say, belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out to all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, your descendants. Once more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Someone say, the blessing. Then he comes to Moses, and Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. This is Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 15, and Moses is reiterating the blessing. And he says, if you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give you fertility for your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine, olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of the men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young, and the Lord will protect you from all sickness. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness, and he will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but inflict them on your enemies. And so we see that from generation to generation, the plan of God has always been to bless his people. The Apostle Paul gets in on this understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "In all the promises of God," someone say, all the promises of God, "are yes and amen to the glory of God through us." We read that in the Message version. It says, whatever God has promised, whatever God has promised, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray, the great amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he has destined to complete. And so the scripture helps us to understand that there is a blessing that is assigned to your residence. There is a blessing that is assigned to your DNA. There is a blessing that is assigned to your fingerprint. But is there a yes in your spirit to possess the blessing? The response to the blessing of the Lord is a yes. Is there a yes not just in your spirit, but is there a yes in your mouth on this morning, church? I said, is there a yes in your mouth on this morning, church, to the blessing of God, to the more that God has for you, for what he has ordained to do before the foundations of the earth in your life? I know some of us have been promised some things by man, but I'm blessed to know that God is not a man, and God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he would repent. And so I know people have promised you things, and people told you they were going to do certain things for you, or you put your trust in what someone said they would do. But I thank God that he is not a man, and any promise that comes from God, all it requires is our amen, and that God is watching over his word. It's a prophetic promise from God, and a prophetic promise from God requires a little action. A prophetic promise from God requires you to shake yourself and to get up and to actually possess the promise of God. We can't be lazy, and we can't be sitting on the side or just thinking things are going to come to us. A prophetic promise requires that we are in action concerning the thing God has for us. We have to take it by force. We cannot be passive if we want to possess the promise that God has for us. And so this next season of your life, church, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to at least one of you. The next season of your life is going to require your faith to collide with the promise of God. The next season of your life is going to require faith to collide with the promise of God. The promise of God will be evident and will manifest in your life, but it requires your faith. It requires you to take action. It may require you to step out and do something you've never done before, but it requires your faith. We understand the scripture, and I love this passage in the version. I believe Apostle has read it many times. Scripture in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, Message version, declares the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. It's the act of faith. We know that here in this house. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Amen? It's the act of faith. Y'all don't mind if I work this a little bit. Apostle introduced this to us. It is the act of faith. And the act of faith is the action taken as a direct result of a decision to totally trust God and to act on God's word in spite of one's limited ability or complete inability to see, reason, or comprehend. Am I reading this right, Apostle? It's our action taken in absolute confidence that God is able to accomplish what he has spoken regardless of our complexity or seeming impossibility. It is our action taken with a belief that at the very moment the decision is made, it is done. Once acted upon, everything is needed to fulfill. It is in motion and desired outcome is assured. Let me read that again. It is an action taken with the belief that at the very moment the decision is made, it is done. Once acted upon, everything needed to fulfill it is in motion and the desired outcome is desired. It is assured. And so the next season requires the act of faith. It requires us to partner with God's word and to move into the thing that he has promised for us. And so the act of faith must connect with a previous faith. And so the act of faith, when we look at Joshua, is connected to the act of faith of Abraham. Amen. And so we cannot sit on the sideline when God makes a promise. There is a required action of faith for us to possess or receive the promise of God. And so when we look at faith and understanding that faith is a currency that is in the kingdom of God, to possess the promise of God, we can look at Matthew 8 and 9 to understand that. When we look at the kingdom, understanding we are kingdom citizens, when we look at Matthew 8 and 9, we see various scenarios where faith is actually in action. Amen. And so we look at the centurion here, and the scripture reads in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. The scripture says, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am unworthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. Now, I know this because I'm under authority as my superior officers have authority over my soldiers. We're talking about faith here. I only need you to say go and they go, or come and they have come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those following him and said, I tell you, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. And so we see the faith connected to the blessing. Y'all not hearing me on this morning. And so we move forward in Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 26. And the disciples are in a storm. The scripture reads, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. What we have to understand is that faith is a currency in the kingdom. It's one thing to have a promise, but the promise requires faith. Someone say amen. Amen. And so we move forward and we see Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Scripture declares, so he got into the boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. Then Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? Jesus saw their faith and said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins have forgiven. Jesus saw their faith. There's a faith that's connected to what God wants to do in our life. Can we go further, church? Then we see here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, the woman with the issue of blood. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. Daughter, your faith has made you well, and the woman was made well from that hour. We're talking about faith colliding with the promise of God for our life. We go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. We're looking at two blind men here. The scripture says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be. And their eyes were open. The just shall live by faith. And so my question to you this morning is, are you walking by faith, or are you walking by what's in the bank account? Are you walking by faith, or are you holding on to what somebody said you could or couldn't do? Are you walking by faith, or are you believing the word of God and the prophetic word that God's spoken over your life? This next season of your life and possessing the blessing of the Lord must collide with the seed of faith that is in your spirit. And so when we move forward and we look at what God is doing with the children of Israel, God made a promise many, many, many years ago, and they're on the cusp of that promise. They're on the cusp of the next season of their life. They're on the cusp of what God told him he was going to do. And I believe many of you who are in this room on this morning are on the cusp of your next. I don't know who's been praying for that next season. I don't know who's been believing for the breakthrough. I don't know who's been trusting God for more and been wondering, God, how long am I going to have to sit in this situation? How long am I going to have to endure? How long am I going to have to continue to come before you? How long am I going to have to endure people who heard me say what you were going to do, but they looking at me strange because my current situation has not changed? How long? And God says, not too much longer, because he's ready to do what he said he was going to do. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord this morning. And so when we look at the progression of the blessing and the children of Israel, the scripture helps us to understand that Genesis is the promising of the land for the children of Israel. Exodus is the leaving for the land. Exodus is leaving for the land. Leviticus helps us to understand how to live in the land. Amen. And then Deuteronomy is the wandering outside the land. Numbers is wandering outside the land. Deuteronomy is the preparation for the land. Joshua is possessing the land. And so when we move to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua is a book that is about God being faithful concerning his promises. This is God delivering on the blessing that he said he was going to do in the life of the children of Israel. When you study the book of Joshua, the word possession is mentioned in the book of Joshua 24 times. The word possession is mentioned in the book of Joshua 24 times, and the word inheritance is mentioned 61 times in the book of Joshua. And so God comes to his servant Joshua, and it's interesting here. We pick up at verse 1 now. I'm in my text. Some of y'all were wondering when I was going to get there. I'm in my text now. The scripture declares the word after. Somebody say after. It's interesting here. That word speaks to a continuation. That word speaks to a continuation. And what we see here, Minister John Paul, is that God links what was to what is. Y'all not hearing me on this morning. He starts with the word after, and he links what was to what is. And some of us are wondering about this word after, and we're looking at our past situation, and we see no connection to what God wants to do in our life. But it's interesting how God knows our future even when we're in our present, and God knows our future even when we're thinking about our past. And so he declares the word after, and he connects your past to your present. Some of us are struggling understanding God. How could I go through what I went through and still receive the promise that you had put in my spirit years ago? God, I don't think I'm worthy for what you said you were going to do. God, I don't think I'm ready for what you said you were going to do. I don't think I can handle what you said you were going to do in my life. But God says after. In other words, he took in consideration everything that you went through. He took in consideration all of your past and all of your struggles and all of the seasons in your life where you felt like you weren't going to come out. And every time you laid your head on the pillow and you cried, I feel like preaching now. And you felt like you weren't going to come out of that season. And you didn't know how you were going to pay your bills. And you didn't know how he was going to heal your body. And you didn't know how he was going to reconcile your family. And you were looking at yourself trying to figure out what God was going to do. God has a way of linking your past to your future. And he comes to Joshua and he says, after you were faithful while you were in a wilderness season. I feel something on me right now. After you trusted me when folk walked out on you. After you believed when people pointed at you and said you would never get out of that situation. He comes to Joshua and he says, after you were faithful, I know you were in the wilderness. I know you saw the people who said they loved God and they were going to walk with you and y'all were going to grow in the spiritual things together. I know you came down the mountain and you saw idolatry all around you, and you didn't know how to handle the situation when folk you thought were walking with God decided to desert you and desert the faith. Joshua, I know you saw a lot while you were in the wilderness. I know they lied on you when you saw the fruit of the land and you saw what I wanted to do in your life. You were with the spies and they came back and lied and said, no, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't see it right. I know some folk, you're sitting in here and you know you saw it right. And other folks said, no, you didn't see it right. And God says, after what you saw, after I placed that thing in your spirit, after you endured a season that was hard, and after you went through a trial, and after you went through a hard place, and after you fought through the naysayers, I'm still going to do it for you, Joshua. I'm still going to come through on your behalf. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to keep you. I'm still going to move you into the promise that I declared over your life. How do we know that God is still going to do what he said he was going to do? Because after death, the Lord spoke. I don't know who I'm talking to on this morning, but if you ever went through a season where your dreams died, I don't know if your money ever dried up and things looked like they weren't going to progress and you went through a season of death, but when you can come out of a season of death and you can still hear the voice of the Lord and God can still speak to you, that's a sign that God's saying, I'm not through with you yet, and the promise that I got for you is still yes and amen. God is a limitless God. And so that word after, it's a prophetic declaration that I'm bringing you out. That word after is a prophetic declaration that I'm bringing you out. I'm not going to leave you where you at. I'm going to link everything that you went through, everything that you felt like was going to take you out, the stuff that you still scratching your head about saying, God, I don't understand what that was. I don't understand why I had to walk through it. God says it's okay, because after all of that, I'm still going to bless you. Verse 2, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. I've come to encourage some of you on this morning that feel like you can't move forward, that feel like you don't have enough strength to continue within the thing that God's blessed you with. Some of you are burdened down, and God is saying, arise. The Good News translation of that verse says, get ready. Yeah. Get ready. Get ready for what the Lord is about to do. Get ready here for what God is about to move you into. Stop listening to the yesteryears and the stories of your wilderness season that you walk through. You've got to put a new soundtrack on, and you can't keep listening to the folk that are still stuck in the wilderness. The wilderness talk has to cease, and you've got to begin to declare the word of the Lord over your life. He says, Joshua, arise. I'm elevating you to a new place, Joshua. I'm taking you into a new position. I'm raising you up. And some of us have been in wilderness seasons, and that wilderness season was just designed to shape us. Some of us still feel like we're in a wilderness season, but I've come to declare to you that you're just on the potter's wheel, and God is just shaping you. And God is fixing you, and God is molding you, and God is making you into the masterpiece that he's always called you to be. And so the previous seasons of preparation that you don't even define as seasons of preparation, Joshua would have had no way of understanding that what he had walked through would have prepared him for what God had placed in the promise of his people from times past. And so I've come to tell you to get ready, because God's already ready. You've got to get ready for what the Lord has for you. Scripture says every place. I find this interesting because God did not put an address on this. There was no GPS on this here. He said every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. The problem with us, it's not a matter of taking limits off God. You've got to take the limits off of yourself. God is a limitless God. We can't take limits off of what is unlimited. It's the limitations in our mind that have kept us in the mindset of how we had to survive in the wilderness. But God wants to move us to a place to where we are not living out of a wilderness mindset. He says every place. You've got to see your current locale as a place of blessing. You've got to see where God has you positioned right now as a place that God can turn for your favor, and God can shift and bring you into a prosperous place. He says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Interesting thing here is that this word soul is calf in the Hebrew, K-A-F. Word soul in the Hebrew is calf, is K-A-F. That word simply means hand. Y'all got to catch this. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. That word translates to hand. Y'all got to hear this in the spirit. What God is saying to his children is that I'm about to put stuff in your hand. You just got to start walking. Read the text for what it is. That word soul does not mean the sole of our feet.
And that's what we think of when we read the text. It means hand. And what God is saying is that in this next season, if you can get the limits off of your mind, when you take that next step, the things that you've been praying for, I'm about to put into your hand. You're not going to be on your face crying out to God for it anymore. It's about to actualize. You're about to possess the promise and the blessing of the Lord in this next season. It's not going to be something you're crying about. It's not going to be on your prayer wall no more. You're going to be able to scratch it out and you're going to have it. So whatever it is you've been believing for, I would start praising God as if it was already in my hand. The scripture declares that every place you walk, I have given to you. So when you take a step, say, this is mine too. When you take another step, you say, this is mine too. And if you want that, you can take a step over there and God will give you that too. The scripture translates to the word hand, but it also translates to the word handful. Handfuls of the blessing. Has anybody been believing for anything? That the scripture translates to handfuls. And so it's going to be so much of a blessing, it's going to overtake you. Once you pick this up and empty this hand, there's going to be another handful blessing that God has for you. As long as you continue to walk with God, he says every place that you walk, there's going to be a blessing that you're going to be able to pick up with your hands, church. We've got to take the limits off of our mind, because God's saying you're about to possess the blessing. It's about to be yours. Some of us have been in the wilderness for so long, we don't even see ourselves possessing the blessing of God. But God sent me here this morning to tell you it's about to be in your hand. You're about to grab. You're about to touch. You're about to actualize. You're about to see what God had been promising you in this new season. And so the Lord told me, he told me to tell you, don't limit me on this morning. Don't limit me on this morning. Because I'm about to bring it to you. I made the promise, and I'm going to fulfill on it. Don't limit me, church. Scripture, the word in verse 3, he says, I've given you, as I said to Moses, that word you is plural. God says, I want to bless you so you can be a blessing. The blessing is for you and all of your family. But watch how God can turn a deserted place into a plush place. Watch how God can shift something so quickly. It can change so quickly, we don't even see it. We don't even notice it. Verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I am giving them. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. He put the hand before the foot as a prophetic sign that it was already done. Verse 2 said what he was going to do. Verse 3 indicated it was already done. He put the hand before the foot to show us prophetically that it was already yours. You already possessed it in the spirit. Verse 2 speaks of what he was going to do. Verse 3 indicates it was already done that quickly. He says, I have given them. Church, it's already yours. And so the challenge with us is that we put limitations on ourselves. And this spirit puts limitations on what God wants to do. We've got to have a different spirit. Like Caleb, it didn't matter how old he was. He was 75 years old. He said, Moses promised me this mountain. I want what's mine. In Numbers chapter 14, he had a different spirit. He said, I want to possess the blessing and the promise that was given to me. Church, we've got to have a different spirit. We limit ourselves. We limit God. God said, it's already in your hand. It's yours. And I call this disease of someday. It's a real disease. It's a sickness that has crept up into the spirit of the church because we know our future is assured. There's this disease of someday. Someday it's just gone. If God wants, it's gonna happen. It's this disease. It's a real sickness. It's not on the autopsy, but many have died with the disease of someday. The sickness of someday. And God wants to rid the church of this disease on today. And so I declare the word of the Lord over you on this morning. Limitless. Lift your hands, church. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that the limits have been broken off of everybody who is under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you, God, that there's nothing, there's no one that is going to hinder them from stepping into their necks. Just grab something spiritual. Just grab something. I thank you, God, that they possess the blessing. They possess the promise that you have for them on today, God. I thank you that they see it, that it is already theirs, Lord. And that you've already made a way, God, for them to move into their necks. I come against every satanic hindrance that would try to cripple them. I break it right now, God. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, I destroy every yoke of poverty right now, God. I destroy every yoke that would try to hinder them and that would try to keep them into a place, a small place, God. But I thank you, God, for an anointing, God, that destroys the yoke. That they move into a place of power, God. God, to see you as limitless, God, and to see themselves as limitless, God. And that everywhere you take them, God, they will possess the blessing of the Lord. Give them the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit to depossess. To depossess the hand of the enemy. Even as you declared, God, that in your word, Lord, that their enemies possess their land. There will not be a spirit that will possess that which is ours, God. And so I thank you for the strength to depossess that which you have given us, God, and to stand for your word, Lord. God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, God, for the plush place that you're moving them into, Lord. For your glory's sake, Father, I honor you and I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the word this morning.